Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back to another episode, and welcome to Sunday. I hope you're having a great start of the week, and I hope today's podcast is encouraging and interesting to you. And I'm so glad for all the new people who are joining. I had several join up this week, and I'm always so happy to have that. Welcome aboard. Today we're going to be talking about updating God's profile picture. If you go to a dating site, which obviously I haven't, I've been married now happily for over 20 years, but you hear that story of dating sites where a person puts a picture of themselves on there from 15 years ago, and then they go out on a date and the person's like, oh my gosh, I did not sign up for this. The thing I got is nothing like the thing I thought I was getting. And I think that's a good metaphor for religion today. It's a good metaphor for the way of mainline denominations in Christianity and church are actually working today. So I want to engage your mind as we look at some startling statistics. Mainline religion is in decline. Most big denominational categories are falling in their numbers. There are some exceptions of a few that are growing, but they're growing by transfer growth, meaning one denomination is shrinking and those people are just moving into another camp. It's really less and less about new people coming into the faith. In a recent Barna study, only 2 in 10 people under the age of 30 believed that church was important. And 96% of young people will never go to church. Let that marinate for just a minute. Now, if you're not in the 30 and under category, and some of my audience is not, this might shock you, right? Because you grew up in a culture where a lot of people went to church. Now, you could be in a city where the whole city seems like it shuts down because everybody's at church on Sunday. I mean, so this may not even feel like it's really statistically accurate based on where you are, but these are the numbers, okay? Another study showed that less than 30% of Americans attend a religious institution more than one time per month, and this is all religions. And that number, that 30%, is declining 1 to 2% per year. And that statistic is several years old, so that could be as far down as 20% by now. So think about this. What is happening? I mean, these startling statistics beg the question, why? What is going on? And as a church planter for more than 25 years, I struggled to get my head around this. And as I really gave myself to learn, as I was a pastor at the time, I was on the elder board and I instructed and challenged our elder board to really take this seriously. If you want to be in a church and you want this church to be around in 10 years or 20 years or to have any kind of valid ministry to people who are young and growing, we have to make some serious changes. And of course, churches don't like to change, as we're going to learn here in this podcast today. I'm telling you, this is a big deal. Do you know what the church's response to these statistics are? Over and over and over again, the church basically blames the culture. They say, oh, it's going to hell in the handbasket. The culture is under the influence of Satan. Modern people opt out of the Sunday big show. And the church interprets this as a rejection of God, as though fewer and fewer people even care about God. If they care about God, they're going to show up to church. That is the assumption. But is that really the case? I mean, while some churches have adapted their music and their preaching, they've adapted their programs to suit modern families. Yeah, I mean, we got rid of the pipe organ and you put on a contemporary band, and that's way better. But some of these changes are just superficial, right? Most of this is the same old cake with a different frosting. Now, we all know that, you know, if we all know the devout churchgoer who insists that their church is not like all the others. Right. In fact, most church planters who have a small congregation of 50 to 100 will almost inevitably advertise that our church is the church for people who don't like church. It's kind of the new cliche. You know, you wear really cool jeans, you have a cool band, you light a bunch of candles, you try and be relevant. That's what it's all about. But we all know, you know, that. Yeah, that's kind of cliche. You know, we see the posts of pastors on Facebook who fight back by doubling down on their theology of fear. Right? We've all been to the coffee shop that turned out to be another ministry when they served you a coffee and on it was the four spiritual laws or something like that. Right? We've gotten tired of community for the sake of community. Or getting around to talk about community, or small groups as a church growth program. I mean, it's just, why aren't all these things working? Right? Now, if you're under 30 and you're one of those people who don't go to church, this doesn't make a lot of sense to you anyway. But all those other people who've kind of lived through this and are watching your church change and struggle and adapt, and if you're part of a church planning group, you're seeing all this stuff. What is happening? Now, while good things can happen through these kinds of systems and these ideas, it masks the fundamental problem, namely that the portrait of God that's depicted by the church is flawed. What do I mean by that? It's flawed. The God you're depicting, you're revealing to the culture, is the God the culture is rejecting. That's the problem. It's not that the culture rejects God or the notion of God. It's they're rejecting your depiction of God. You see, I quit going to church 5 years ago, not because I lost my faith. Of course, any of you who know me or this podcast or my posts know that I'm deeply committed to the scripture and to my faith. But I didn't lose it. But I just couldn't clearly see how the church delivery system was the solution for modern Americans. I mean, I would work with toe-to-toe with some great professionals, brilliant minds, who the last thing they really needed in their life was a sermon and to sing some songs to Jesus. They needed something way deeper than that, right? I couldn't reconcile a belief for a Sunday morning that was unbelievable to my peers during the rest of the week, right? I was one of those people that have no problem talking about my faith or God, and people always were honest and willing to share with me their experiences and things like that, to which I'm eternally grateful. And, you know, one of the things that I learned is that people love to talk about God. They're very curious about God and what you believe about God. They just don't want to talk about God with churchgoers. Now, this was my clue that the culture hadn't moved away from God, but from any religion that tried containing God into a box. I mean, they'd already figured out that if you can put God in a box, you must not have God. You have something else. God has to be larger than the present consciousness. And for most of religion today, it's not. The picture of God is not larger than the consciousness of the culture. It does not answer the questions the culture is asking. It's not nuanced enough to figure it out. Now, that's not every church. There's always one that does and others that don't. Now, we can't update our kitchen without taking out the old kitchen, right? You can't say, I want a new kitchen, but don't make a mess and don't make any noise and don't take out the old cabinets and don't take out the old counters. I want a new one, but just leave the old stuff. So this may sting a little bit because we can't update God's profile picture without replacing the one that's there. And so there has to be a little deconstruction. And I know that I get labeled a deconstructionist a lot, but I'm not a deconstructionist for the sake of deconstruction. I'm a deconstructionist for the sake of reconstruction. And here are the beliefs that make God unbelievable. First off, God is always a him. It's a man. Always masculine. Always a warrior, always a tribal leader, a king. It's always in this paradigm of masculinity and testosterone. And that's kind of a reaction to the femininity and the chickification that is actually in the church. So it's when you talk about God, it's always a man. But when you talk about the church, it's always very feminized. God is like a cosmic super parent who monitors our behavior by looking down on us from some distant place up in heaven, right? That's a constant belief. It's a perspective of God that is perpetuated over and over and over again. God is up there and we're down here. Then, of course, there's God loves us no matter what, unless we don't believe in Jesus, in which case God will torture us forever in fiery hell. So that's what love looks like, torturing us in a fiery hell. So it's a threatening God, right? What about this one? All religions are ultimately invalid except Christianity. That's great that you are a Muslim. It's great that you're a Jew. It's great that, you know, you're a Mormon. It's great that you are whatever. Too bad you're Hindu, because now you are all going to have to die in a fiery hell, because only Christianity is valid. Oh, and by the way, when you get into just Christianity, guess what? There's so many different denominations, and half of them don't think the other ones are Christians either. What about this? God hates science, right? Or we are supposed to ignore scientific claims or the advances in science. What about this one? God cannot accept homosexuality. Although he is good with tattoos now. For a long time, you couldn't have a tattoo, but that's totally fine now. But homosexuality, still out. Forget it. What about God wrote everything down in a book? And if you don't know the book, you just can't know God. Right? God is only for people who are literate. What about if you pick God's team, then he's going to pick you instead of others, right? God's going to show favor to you because you believe in him and disfavor to everybody else. He's going to make sure your car doesn't break down. He's going to make sure you get the promotion. Is there favor behind God? Yes. Is there disfavor towards others? I don't know. What if God favors all of us? Is that even possible? Right? What about this last one? In the future, God will destroy everyone that's not on his team. In other words, Jesus is coming back and he's going to take his team to heaven in a rapture, and everybody left is going to be destroyed. And the world is going to be destroyed and renewed. Now, I know I'm picking off the scabs here, but hang with me. Do I believe all those things? No, but I did. I did, and I believed them deeply. Now there's a new way to understand where all that came from. But that's the picture of God. in a modern world is coming to church and trying to listen to your podcasts and your sermons and the people that you're sending out into the world. And this is what they're saying. And most people are saying, what do you mean God is only for those who can read and write? What do you mean God is only for those people? I see people who are believers and they're suffering. They get in car accidents. They get diseases. So God is not separating out the blessings for just his people and the cursings for everybody else, right? They look at this and they say, BS, right? God's profile picture is regressive. It's looking backward. It's like it believes all the good times were back in another time. And now everything is worse and worse and worse. It's tribal. It picks sides between who's better and who's worse, who's in and who's out, innies and outies, valid and invalid, sinners and saints. All right, God's profile picture is threatening. And it says his love is conditional. Is it any wonder that outsiders that come with questions, they encounter this and they just say, hey man, I'm out. But doesn't the Bible describe God in this way? And of course, you can't talk about God's profile picture without talking a little bit about the Bible. Yes, the Bible does depict God as tribal and angry and vindictive. But let me ask you this. Is Scripture depicting God, or is Scripture depicting the way an ancient culture depicted God? You see, I think it's the latter. And we all know that literal translations make people weird. The more literal you are, the more culturally irrelevant you are. Now, you can try and take the high ground and say, I hold to a very literal, strict interpretation of the Bible. Every word in the Bible is the inspired word of God, infallible, perfect for everything, and we need to know it and apply it. Well, the Bible wasn't written in English, first of all, so you have this huge translation problem. And second of all, even if you tried to apply the Bible literally to your, it's impossible. I've never met a single person who's been able to do it because there are so many things in the Bible that are absolutely impossible to literally apply. So, you know, we've learned that, you know what, the better interpreters of Scripture, they know how to contextualize the essence of the Scripture's message into a modern framework. That's wisdom. That's a good thing. Yet most churches are a mix of literal and figurative translations. And this is just another way of saying that nobody believes everything that's in the Bible. I know we want to say we do, but we don't. And this creates a rub for the culture. If you're a pastor and a church planner, I hope you're listening to these words and not taking me as just pooping on the church, because that's not what I'm doing. I'm trying to give us all clues as to how we move together forward. You see, if we can remove the institutional bias, a new image emerges from the Bible. It emerges from tradition. It emerges from experience. The institutional bias is, you know, we've got this system that it's called the church, and this is how we've always done it, and this is how all our leaders and teachers have always done it, and we don't ever want to do anything that different, and we don't want to say anything that different because then we'll be an outsider. We'll be relegated to marginal, you know, the margins, which I have many times. And I'm sure some of you are thinking right now, I'm borderline heretic. But I hope that I can gain your confidence. You see, each of us has a God story. And if we remove this institutional bias, we can get at that a little easier. You see, we understand why a religion thrives on the feedback loop that's created by its literal interpretation and its cultural distinctions. But modern people don't require this. We're not institutions, we're people. The institution has to look out for itself, but we're just people. And like I said, each of us has a God story. And for some, that God story has led to a deeper belief. And for others, it's led to what I thought was unbelief for a long time. You see, religion is losing its ability to lead people because it has traded influence for authority. Being fearful of change, it's been stuck in the past, and once the consciousness of the culture expands, then people can't go back into a regressive system. That's why so few young people will go into a church and become part of it. They are part of a consciousness that has risen beyond it. They can't go back in. It's going too far backwards to enter these old frameworks. So what the world needs now is for ministry experts to be emerging who have a deep understanding of the tradition, but who are not confined by it. People need spiritual leaders who understand all sacred texts and traditions, but who don't invalidate the unique experience of the individual. That way, guidance can be provided, which will empower the seeker to grow on their own unique path rather than press them into a historic mold. Right? This isn't the sneeches on the beaches, the star-bellied sneech, and you go into the machine and they put the star on and they pump you out. So much more nuanced than that. You know, most people I know are curious as well as cautious. See, we want to learn more about God and truth and faith, but we don't want to get sucked into something. We want spirituality, but we don't want a label. We are all in a flux. We all are in transition. We know that we don't all start and end at the same place. That's okay. We have a culture that's very accepting of the fact that people are in different places, but we do need to know how these diverse perspectives actually resolve themselves. See, most people get that we're all in a different place, but they don't understand how these differences can resolve themselves. That is a huge spiritual question. The goal of spirituality is always to start right where we are and go deeper. It's no more and no less. So religion may be on the decline, but true spirituality is on the rise as people wake up to what's going on inside. And according to Romans 14:22, the matters of faith are between oneself and God. Oneself and God, which means that your God story is valid. And that radically changes the picture of God from the guy up there to the power within. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.